This is the daily radio ministry of Pastor Sandy Adams of Calvary Chapel, Stone Mountain in Atlanta, Georgia. Pastor Sandy is currently teaching through the book of Leviticus. Now, here's Pastor Sandy in Leviticus chapter 18 with today's edition of Sandy Adams Radio.
God wants us to channel all of our sexual energies in godly and in biblical directions. And it all goes back to who knows what's best when it comes to sex. You or God? Let me get to what I really want to say on the subject of homosexuality. God loves sinners. And God loves homosexuals. Yes, He does. Jesus died for homosexuals. But you know, God hates the sin. Just like He hates your sin. Just like He hates my sin. And if a homosexual wants to know God, he or she has to do exactly the same as we have to do, as you have to do. We have to repent of our sin. We have to renounce that selfish lifestyle. We have to present to God the willingness to change, and then we have to trust God for His help. If we do, we'll become born again. And God will give us a brand new start. And God is even able to help the homosexual redirect their sexuality in a way that will please Him. Well, verse 23 tells us, "Nor shall you mate with any animal to defile yourself with it, nor shall any woman stand before an animal to mate with it. It is perversion." I want you to notice that right on the heels of homosexuality, God mentions another perversion, bestiality. Or sex with animals. And here is the warning. When sex is stripped of its spirituality, when sex is no longer considered sacred and a gift from God, when sex is seen as purely an animalistic, instinctive act, then, brother, anything goes. Every unimaginable perversion results, even bestiality. And this was not just true in ancient Canaan. Log on to the internet today, and you'll find this kind of vulgarity in others. It is the result of a seared conscience. Indulge in pornography, start down that path, and the consequences are unimaginable. Resort to this kind of titillation, and there is no telling what will come next. Well, verse 24 says, "Do not defile yourselves with any of these things, for by all these the nations are defiled, which I am casting out before you." Notice God is going to use Israel to judge the Canaanites for these perversities. And He doesn't want Israel to fall into the same trap. He says, "For the land is defiled. Therefore I visit the punishment of its iniquity upon it, and the land vomits out its inhabitants. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations, either any of your own nation or any stranger who dwells among you. For all these abominations the men of the land have done who were before you, and thus the land is defiled. Lest the land vomit you out also when you defile it, as it vomited out the nations that were before you. For whoever commits any of these abominations, the person who committed them shall be cut off from among their people. Therefore you shall keep my ordinance, so that you do not commit any of these abominable customs which were committed before you, and that you do not defile yourselves by them. I am the Lord your God." Now, let me just ask you, does God sound confused about any of this? Is God unsure of what's right and of what's wrong? Then why should we be? God is very clear. God loved His people, and He wanted to protect them. Israel was to be a different people with a different set of rules. Well, chapter 19 tells us, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel and say to them, You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." I hope you know that God is the only whole person in the universe. The rest of us have been chipped and stained, and we're missing some pieces. God is the only whole person who exists. But when we give ourselves, all that we are, wholly unto Him, He makes us whole, like Him. This is why He says, "You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." Every one of you shall revere his mother and his father and keep my Sabbaths. Not just the weekly Sabbath, but the Sabbath every 7 years. Also the year of Jubilee, which was the Sabbath every 50th year. I am the Lord your God. Do not turn to idols, nor make for yourselves molded gods. I am the Lord your God. Here he reminds us of both the first and the second commandments. And if you offer a sacrifice of a peace offering to the Lord, you shall offer it of your own free will. It shall be eaten the same day you offer it, and on the next day, and if any remains until the third day, it shall be burned in the fire. And if it is eaten at all on the third day, it is an abomination. It shall not be accepted. Therefore, everyone who eats it shall bear his iniquity, because he has profaned the hallowed offering of the Lord, and that person shall be cut off from his people. Yesterday, Kathy was gone around dinner time, so I had to get my own meal. And so I went up to Mellow Mushroom Pizza, and I spent $20 on the house special. And if you've never had Mellow Mushroom Pizza, it is the best pizza you'll ever put in your mouth. But I bought that big pizza because I'm saving a lot of the pieces. I ate 3 pieces, and I think I got 6 pieces left. And so I figure I'll get about 3 meals out of that. But I got to eat them over the next few days. And if I let them sit around for too long, they're going to sour. They're going to be defiled, you might say. And that's what God is saying here. When you offer the peace offering, make sure you eat it within 3 days. You know, don't let it, you know, sit around too long. It's not good. Here's one lesson we can get from this. God wants us to feed on fresh sacrifices. I hope you're not relying on yesterday's prayer time or on last week's praise. How quickly our devotion can become stale. This is why we need to fellowship with God every day. We need to spend time in his presence. Well, verses 9 and 10 institute a very wise welfare system. He says, when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of your field, nor shall you gather the gleanings of your harvest. And you shall not glean your vineyard, nor shall you gather every grape of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and the stranger. I am the Lord your God. Had a lady this morning who gave us a big bag of blueberries. And she told me, you know, she said, I had all these blueberries left over, and I got to give them to somebody, or they'll just get wasted. And I quoted her some verse from the Sandy translation about he who gives blueberries to their pastor is blessed. And so she gave all those blueberries to me. And they are really, really good. But here he's saying, when you harvest your field, you know, don't clean it to the bone. Don't cover, harvest every inch of the field with a fine-tooth comb. Leave some of the fruit still on the vine. This was the way to feed the poor. They allowed the poor to go out into the field after the harvest had been passed. They allowed the poor then to go out into the field and to pick the leftovers for themselves. And I liked this because, yes, it showed compassion to the poor, but the poor had to go out and get it themselves. It wasn't just a handout. They had to go out and do something to get it. Verse 11, you shall not steal, nor deal falsely, nor lie to one another. And you shall not swear by my name falsely, nor shall you profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. In other words, never use God's name to get your way. You know, we can do that sometimes. Be a bold witness for Jesus, but not just when it might gain for you an advantage. Not just when you're trying to impress your boss or your girlfriend. You know, use the name of Jesus, but do it with integrity. You shall not cheat your neighbor nor rob him. The wages of him who is hired shall not remain with you all night until morning. In other words, when a man works, pay him as soon as possible. I used to work a job where I got paid once a month. And boy, was it tough to manage your money wisely. And by the end of the month, man, we were eating pork and beans. It's tough to manage your money over a whole month. I wish I had known this verse that time. I would have quoted it to my boss. You shall not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but shall fear your God. I am the Lord. That's not cruelty even. It's cowardice is what it is. I mean, if you're going to be a jerk, and if you're going to cuss somebody, at least cuss somebody who can hear you. And if you're going to be a real jerk, and if you're going to trip somebody, at least trip somebody who can see you. But this business about tripping blind people and cursing deaf people, I mean, I think it's obviously teaching a bigger lesson than that, that we need to show respect for the plight of the disabled. Verse 15, you shall do no injustice in judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. In righteousness you shall judge your neighbor. Be even-handed. Show no partiality to either the poor or the rich. You shall not go about as a talebearer among your people, nor shall you take a stand against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord. In other words, don't be a gossip. Don't slander your neighbor. Understand, great minds talk about ideas. Average minds talk about events. Little minds talk about other people. Little minds, tiny minds, puny minds pick up People magazines and subscribe to the National Enquirer. And they are constantly talking about other people. Hey, don't gossip. You know, dwell on ideas. Dwell on grand thoughts, great thoughts about God, about salvation, about the doctrine that we have in the Scriptures. Great minds talk about ideas, not people. You shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall surely rebuke your neighbor and not bear sin because of him. Hey, if you truly love your neighbor and you see your neighbor in some error, you won't neglect to lovingly rebuke and correct him. You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. You remember when the scholar approached Jesus and he asked him to name the greatest commandment? Jesus responded by quoting Deuteronomy 6, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment." But then Jesus added, "And the second is like it." And he quoted from our text, verse 18, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." And by coupling those two verses, Jesus was teaching us that what really matters is for us to love God with all we've got and to love our neighbor. Of the 613 laws of Moses, Jesus says verse 18 here is the second most important. Verse 19 guards against wrong mixtures. He says, "You shall keep my statutes. You shall not let your livestock breed with another kind. You shall not sow your field with mixed seed, nor shall a garment of mixed linen and wool come upon you." When God created the natural order, he engineered all living things to reproduce after their kind, according to their own species. The law ordered the Hebrews to respect and to maintain these genetic groupings and these boundaries. Obviously, a disaster is not likely to occur by mixing thread. But I think this could really just be an illustration. I think God may have bigger fish to fry here. Interbreeding animals, we do know, can result in unhealthy tendencies and traits. Go a step further, and the manipulating of genetic codes can result in dangerous and uncontrollable mutations. What is that but mixing seed? I think some of what's going on in the world of genetic engineering today is scary. And where will it stop? Verse 19 may be a whole lot more relevant to us than we think. By the way, you know what you get when you breed Lassie with a pit bull? You get a dog who mauls you and then runs for help. Anyway. Be careful when you start mixing stuff. When you start putting stuff together that doesn't belong. You know, mixtures are dangerous. There are a lot of dangerous mixtures. You understand that? Hey, it's dangerous to mix truth with error. It's dangerous to mix a believer with an unbeliever. It's dangerous to mix grace and law. It's dangerous to mix the flesh and the spirit. And it's dangerous to mix yellow jackets and bulldogs. Mixtures can be dangerous. Now, whoever lies carnally with a woman who is betrothed to a man as a concubine, and who has not at all been redeemed or given her freedom, for this there shall be scourging, but they shall not be put to death because she was not free. In other words, just because a woman has fallen into slavery, and we've talked about slavery before, it doesn't mean that she can be sexually abused. She has to be respected. And just because a man sins sexually, it doesn't mean there's no forgiveness for him. For he shall bring his trespass offering to the Lord, to the door of the tabernacle of meeting, a ram as a trespass offering. The priest shall make atonement for him with the ram of the trespass offering before the Lord for his sin which he has committed, and the sin which he has committed shall be forgiven him. Now, verses 23 and 24 may sound strange to us, but they target specific Canaanite practices that related to idolatry. He says, when you come into the land and have planted all kinds of trees for food, then you shall count their fruit as uncircumcised or off limits to you. 3 years it shall be as uncircumcised to you. It shall not be eaten. You see, the Canaanites ate the initial harvest as a sacrifice to their idols. So when the Israelites entered the land, God wanted them to wait until the fifth year before they ate the harvest. This was God's way of keeping his people from any appearance of evil. He didn't want anybody to think they were idolaters or idol worshipers. He says, but in the fourth year, all its fruit shall be holy, a praise to the Lord, and in the fifth year, you may eat its fruit, that it may yield to you its increase. I am the Lord your God. Verse 26, and you shall not eat anything with the blood, nor shall you practice divination or soothsaying. And divination is any attempt to link up with the spiritual realm through means apart from direct communication with God. Did you get that? Divination is any attempt to link up with the spiritual realm through means apart from direct communication with God. That means Ouija boards and horoscopes and seances and palm readers and New Age channelers and crystal balls and imaging and psychic healing and house hauntings and astrology and ghosts. These are all occult practices and they are forbidden by God. Hey, participate in divination and you are really inviting Satan to use his deceptions on you. And understand the popularity of these practices is growing. Did you know that in 1990, 29% of Americans believed in haunted houses? In 2001, it was up to 42%. In 1990, 18% of people believed you could communicate with the dead. In 2001, the number had grown to 28%. In 1990, 23% of Americans believed in fortune telling. In 2001, the number was at 35%. We need to warn our neighbors that God forbids divination. Verse 27, you shall not shave around the sides of your head, nor shall you disfigure the edges of your beard. And again, these were references to Canaanite practices that were associated with idolatry. The Hebrews were not to look like these idolaters. You know, Orthodox Jews today still follow these instructions literally. Okay, you shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor tattoo any marks on you. I am the Lord. Now, personally, I'm not very fond of tattoos or of body piercings. In fact, I've told my boys that if they want their body pierced, it's okay, but I'm the one who will do the piercing. But as much as I would like to make this a blanket prohibition against tattoos and body piercings, I can't. Because God is not talking here about tattooing as an art or body piercing as a fashion statement. No, in the context of Canaanite culture, these were acts of idolatry. It would have been wrong for a Hebrew to walk into a Canaanite hair salon and trim the edges of his beard, or to go to the ink shop for a new tattoo. In Canaan, to get a new do or a new to made the people think that you were an idol worshiper. If you do it today, they just think you got weird hair and you like tattoos. So if your name isn't Adams and you want a tattoo, It's up to you. But one thing to remember about tattoos, they don't wash off. Verse 29, do not prostitute your daughter to cause her to be a harlot, lest the land fall into harlotry and the land become full of wickedness. And guys, one way to prostitute your daughter is to let her dress like one. Or to pay for her to dress like one. I think one of the best ways I've been able to influence my daughter's wardrobe is that I pay for her clothes. Or I don't pay for her clothes. Or I make her take her clothes back if they don't meet up to standards. Be careful not to let your daughter dress in an unseeming way. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. And again, our sanctuary is not our building necessarily. It's us corporately gathered together to worship. And when we come to worship, we should reverence those times. We should come together with anticipation and faithfulness and seriousness. Give no regard to mediums and familiar spirits. Do not seek after them to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. In other words, any attempt at communicating with the dead is forbidden. If a voice speaks to you and claims to be a dead guy, it's either a hoax or a demon. You can count on that. Reminds me of the time when I was witnessing to a fortune teller. And she just kept smiling at me with this goofy smile on her face. And it made me mad, quite frankly. And I couldn't help it. I just reached over and just slapped her right across the face. And of course, she called the police. I was arrested. I was brought before the judge. And the judge asked me to explain my actions. And I told him, I said, Judge, I always try to strike a happy medium. Verse 32. You shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man. And fear your God, I am the Lord. You know, tragically, ours is the first society in history that praises youth and disrespects the elderly. Should be just the opposite. Boy, have we got things topsy-turvy or what? We should honor our elders. We need their wisdom. We need their advice. Verse 33. And if a stranger dwells with you in your land, you shall not mistreat him. The stranger who dwells among you shall be to you as one born among you, and you shall love him as yourself. For you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Be kind to strangers and first-time visitors to Calvary Chapel. You shall do, because you were a first-time visitor once yourself, weren't you? Remember that. You shall do no injustice in judgment. In measurement of length, weight, or volume. In other words, observe fair business practices. You shall have honest scales, honest weights, an honest ephah. About a bushel was an ephah. An honest hin, which was 6 quarts. You know, in ancient times, business was all done on scales. And so payments and portions were weighed out. Moses is saying, don't fudge on your scales. Don't cheat. Be a person of integrity. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Therefore, you shall observe all my statutes and all my judgments and perform them. I am the Lord. God was giving them a second chance. He was bringing them out of the land of Egypt and letting them start over. And this is what Jesus has done for us. We've been born again. We have a second chance. Now, make the most of it. Don't follow the doings of the Gentiles. Follow the doings of God.
Although much of the details you find in the book of Leviticus may be more than you ever wanted to know about sacrifices and blood, there's a reason why God wanted you to know and understand the things written in this book. There were things he wanted to communicate about his purity and his holiness through these Old Testament sacrifices. They pointed to a perfect sacrifice that Jesus would one day fulfill. If you'd like to learn more, we'd love to talk with you. please feel free to give us a call here at Sandy Adams Radio. We can be reached at 770-736-2828. That's 770-736-2828. If you'd like to hear this teaching again or listen to other messages by Pastor Sandy, just visit our website at sandyadams.org or download our mobile app to stay connected to biblical teaching wherever you go. If you have yet to find a church home and you're in the Atlanta area, we'd love to meet you. Come join us this weekend at Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain for a time of worship, studying the Bible, and just getting to know one another. You can find service times, directions to the church, and more information at sandyadams.org. Just click on the church link under the About tab. That's all we have time for today. Join Pastor Sandy next time here on Sandy Adams Radio.